Hallelujah. Tribulation. Can we rejoice during it? You know, when we're going through it, it's not very pleasant. And we can come through tribulation after coming into the faith. So it's something that we should be aware of, that this can happen, at any point in time when we least expect it. But I want to go over the scriptures that will help us to have the right attitude, will help us to see past the tribulation. Because as far as tribulation goes, this too shall pass. And Elder Tom mentioned the red heifer. They're actually looking at maybe doing a sacrifice and having that for Passover 2024. So things are moving right along. But we know before Yahshua returns, there's going to be tribulation. I don't want to get so much into that. I want to get into the personal tribulation that we suffer with. And we do suffer. I've suffered since coming into the faith, even to the point of wanting to not live. Now, that's a pretty serious tribulation to go through. But there is a period in time in which, you know, there is a two-year period that, all of us here were suffering back in 2004 through 2006. Many of you may know what I'm talking about. I don't want to talk about tribulation I've gone through. I want to talk about tribulation you may be going through, tribulation in which you need scriptures. I just talked to an inmate recently, and I gave him one of the scriptures, a couple of the scriptures that we're going to go through today. He's dying. He had cancer, went through chemotherapy. The cancer came back with a vengeance. And he called to say goodbye. He's not aware of how much longer he has to live. But we all go through tribulation and suffering, but we know the end from the beginning because Yahweh has told us. And if he's true, and he is, let our own attitudes and negative thoughts be put away because they're lies from Satan that would discourage us and take us away from Yahweh. And we want to be moving towards Yahweh, drawing closer to him, not further away. I picked the image of the child here for the thumbnail because we too are children in Yahweh's sight. He cares for us, loves us, and will wipe away every tear from our eyes. That is a promise. And because of this, there is promised protection and guidance as well in Scripture. Let's go into Isaiah 43 and verses 1 through 2. But now thus says Yahweh, your Creator, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. We find examples of that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not a hair singed. Do we think of Joseph and what he went through? About 8 years in jail. For what? Something, he did righteously. And yet he was shown favor, even in jail. We go through things, and we are shown favor. So, when Paul talks to the Philippi brethren and tells them to think about positive things, he's coming from the experience that negative things aren't going to help you. He says in Philippians 4:10, I'm not going to bring it up here, but true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, pure, lovely, good, excellent, and worthy of praise. Think about these things, because we can get all negative and, turn a situation that is to help us into something negative that will hurt us and hurt those around us, because discouragement travels. It travels from one to another, just as a positive attitude can travel from one to another. We want to build each other up, not tear each other down. But thinking of Isaiah 43, 1 through 2, this is, of course, what we can expect being obedient children. The blessings and curses are laid out in black and white in Leviticus 26 and also Deuteronomy chapter 28, just as a reminder. And thinking about Isaiah 43, 1 through 2, I haven't walked through fire, but I have walked through a river at age 14. And this is no small river. It's the Santa Am River over in Oregon. And I was kind of smart about it in the sense that the friends that I was with wanting me to go through the river with them, I said, you go first and then I'll follow. I figure if they could make it, I could make it. But I went through the river like this, walking at an angle because of the current. And the width of the river at that point must have been at least 80, 100 feet. So there was some distance. But I was up to my chest, and of course I'm a little taller now, but I got through the river. Now, being age 14, not the brightest bulb in the room, I didn't know how to swim. So I was really putting myself at risk. But I figured, well, if they could do it, I could do it. That's what's called peer pressure. They wanted me to go, and I went. Well, thankfully, I didn't lose my footing, and it was slippery. But I kept it, you know, slow pace, steady, was able to get through it. You know, we think about the priest that put their foot, they went ahead and put their foot in the water, and the water parted. I didn't see that. But, you know, we go through difficult things, and, you know, we look back and think, wow, Yahweh must have been, you know, ready to call me because he saved me from that. But we can trust that he's with us today. We can expect protection, guidance, help, especially if we are truly pleasing Yahweh through Yahshua. We were talking in the Bible study how, you know, Yahshua is going to separate, you know, the goats from the sheep. He's going to be telling those that come to him that are lawless to depart. I never knew you. He had no relationship with you. You know, Yahweh says, look, your sins have separated you from him. So we know that there's a disconnect when we live a life that's contrary to Yahweh's way. So we need to be in his good favor and be doing those things which are pleasing to him, which will bring us into his good favor, bring us closer to him. And we need to grow to have the love that they have. Revelation 3 through 10, or I'm sorry, chapter 3 and verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, Yahshua speaking, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. What's that all about? What's that going to be like? I don't think we've seen this. This is prophecy for end times. And, you know, there's all this talk about UFOs and, you know, aliens, and all the movies are promoting these things, and it seems like a lot of them are. You know, is there going to be something manifested by Satan? You know, I don't know. A test that occurs for an hour upon the whole world, I'm not sure what that is. But what is the word of his perseverance or steadfastness? We should look at that. This is the Philadelphia Assembly, of course. And what is their attribute? You know, phileo, brotherly love, Philadelphia. They kept his word and did not deny his name. And we know that he taught, and did the Father's will, that is Yahshua. The United Bible Society says of the phrase, have kept the word of my perseverance, is essentially saying, have followed my teaching or have obeyed my commands. And we know that Yahshua did exactly what his father, he always defaulted to the father's commands. But did say in John 13:24, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. But a lot of the commandments are for the purpose of loving one another and loving Yahweh first and foremost. But is this the agape love that will keep us from the hour of testing coming upon the world? Maybe loving each other besides keeping the commandments and proper name of the Son, you know, has a special reward yet in store. But we know Yahweh does test us, just as he has done in the past with his people. He does the same with us today, because Yahweh doesn't change. His character doesn't change. He has the same MO, so to speak, mode of operation. And sometimes we go through, you know, things that are difficult. Deuteronomy 8:2, that he allows it and knows what we can handle, what we can't handle. He says, "You shall remember all the way which Yahweh your Elohim has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not." A lot of times this all goes back to obedience. Will we be obedient to him or not? I mean, it's our choice, and we're told to choose life. So this is something that we have to keep in mind. You know, praise awaits him. And Psalm 71, verses 17 through 23. "O Elohim, you have taught me from my youth, and I still declare your wondrous deeds. And even when I am old and gray, O Elohim, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power, and your power to all who are to come. For your righteousness, O Elohim, reaches to the heavens. You have done great things, O Elohim. Who is like you? You have shown me many troubles and distresses, will revive me again, and will bring me up again from the depths of the earth. May you increase my greatness and turn to comfort me. I will also praise you with harp, even your truth, O my Elohim. To you I will sing praises with lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips shall shout for joy when I praise you, and my soul which you have redeemed." I want to think about going back to Deuteronomy 8:2 for just a moment. You know, "You shall remember all the ways which Yahweh your Elohim has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments." You know, sometimes we go through humble times and don't have everything we want or desire. And I know that is the way it has been for me at times, and I trust you at times. Yet he is faithful, even if our faith is weak at times. What we do, however, is not to give up. We don't give up, but rather persevere, keeping his way of life, not our own desires. We came out of living our own way because we found that that was not the right way, and that way leads to death. So why would we want to go back to it? There's no reason for it. We pierce ourselves with a bunch of troubles if we do. We've seen it happen with some. Don't let it happen to you. But in Psalm 71, 17 through 23, and I've highlighted some of these scriptures just to bring them out, like this one, "Will bring me up again from the depths of the earth." What's that talking about? Talking about the resurrection, knowing that there is life after death, that Yahweh does provide. Yahweh's not some puppet master up there just having fun with us. He has a plan for us, doing those things which are good for us. And he promises not to give us more than we can handle. But sometimes we forget what his promises are. Sometimes we just want to, you know, go into the mire of our troubles and set and be depressed about it. But we're told to be joyful because of Yahweh's promises. And while it's not pleasant to go through things, there are reasons for why we go through things. But in Psalm 71, 17 through 23, this was King David. And it can be us, though many of us tend to only play CDs. You know, he says he'll shout for joy when he sings praises to you. I found myself, you know, raising my voice a little bit more with the songs that were presented today. You know, King of Righteousness, that's a good one to, you know, put forth some effort, you know, sing forth praise. Yeah, it's a good thing for us to see ourselves in psalms like this. Romans 12 and verse 12. I have trusted in your loving kindness. Romans 12, 12. Rejoice in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. It's all in our attitude. I mean, we are either gaining ground or we are losing ground. And we don't want to go back to where we came from. We want to be encouraged. We want to keep our eye on the prize, so to speak. And while it's difficult at times, we need to be running the race and doing it wholeheartedly, knowing that there is a prize to obtain. And for us, we know eternal life is promised. We know that there are rewards coming and that Yahshua is bringing those rewards. And as a bride, I mean, he's preparing a place for us. So we know that there are many things coming which we can't fully comprehend yet, but are available to those who overcome and persevere and have the right attitude towards Yahweh. Because if we let the negative get a hold of us too much, I mean, we can think that Yahweh's doing this to us and that he's not kind or loving or caring for us, but he is. But we go through some difficulties. And this is why, you know, Paul is saying, you know, rejoice in hope. Persevere in tribulation. Be devoted to prayer. Psalm 13, 5 through 6. I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to Yahweh because he has dealt bountifully with me. And he has, with all of us. We don't want to lose that first love. The joy that we have, we want to share with others, and we soon find out others don't want to hear about it. And they kind of diminish our joy to a certain extent. But, you know, we're to sing psalms, of, you know, songs of praise and, you know, have joy in our heart, thanksgiving towards Yahweh. You know, Lucas and I are going to go to the Philippines here shortly. Been watching some vlogs about what it's like over there because it's going to be, you know, a little different than what it is here. But a lot of the Filipinos and Filipinas, they like to sing, they like to rejoice, and they'll break out singing in public by themselves. And, you know, people do that over here. They look a little odd to us. You know, it can seem a little out of place. Because people in this country are not that joyful, willing to praise Yahweh wherever they are. But maybe we need to be more like the Philippines and be willing. Of course, you know, it's pleasant over there. There's lots of enjoyment. It's relaxed. They're on Filipino time, Philippines time, just like Hawaiian time. That is to say, you know, you don't stress out getting somewhere where you're going. You take your time. But there are others that have gone over there from America, and they're older. They know what it was like in the 50s here in America. And they're telling people that over there is like America was in the 1950s. That is, they weren't cussing, swearing, and being angry at their neighbors and throwing things and, you know, doing the things that we're seeing today, which is vile. You don't see those things so much in the Philippines. So I was happy to watch those things and get a preview of what we're going to experience, I believe. So hopefully we'll come back rejoicing, singing, and people will look at us strange. But, you know, people look at us kind of strange anyway, because they don't understand what we're doing. They don't understand the purpose of why people are alive today. What is our purpose? I mean, what is Yahweh doing? I mean, he's building a family. We're his children. We should be rejoicing before him because of that calling and choosing that has occurred with us. I have trusted in your loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to Yahweh because he has dealt bountifully with us, and he has. James 5, in verses 10 through 11. As an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of Yahweh's dealings, that Yahweh is full of compassion and is merciful. He is full of compassion and merciful towards us as well. None of us can say we went through what Job went through, but his attitude is an example for us. Job 1, 21 through 22. He said, "Naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return there. And Yahweh gave, and Yahweh has taken away. So cursed be the," "blessed be the name of Yahweh." Through all this, Job did not sin, nor did he blame Elohim. But I've seen brethren blame Yahweh. I've seen brethren turn away and have said, I wasn't actually there to witness that. I was told what they said. And what they said was, if this is how Yahweh treats his people, we don't want to be serving him anymore. And they walked away. Never heard back from them. But they went through some troubles and trials, I guess similar to what Job went through. I mean, but they lost just material things, I believe. They lost their jobs, lost a home, lost some transportation. You know, we can get around on buses. We can get around in other ways. I got a bicycle at home. It's doing pretty good. I put new tubes in it. I got those thorn-proof tubes, and it's really thick rubber. And now I don't have to pump up my tires every time I go out, because I don't always go out and ride, you know, it's like a few weeks. But the tires I had before, or the tubes that I had before, they would always go flat. So blessings, you know, I mean, they're little things. But we have 2 feet, 2 legs, we can walk to where we need to go. But I think they were tested whether or not they would stick with it, and they didn't. And ultimately, you know, we want to be the ones that rejoice and say, you know, we can do it, and be the overcomers rather than to be the ones that are overcame by this world's troubles. He wouldn't have allowed it if he didn't believe that they could have persevered, because the promise is that, you know, we're not put through anything that we can't handle. So we need to remember the promises of Yahweh and not let tribulation or other things get us down. But I'm not here to tell you how bad it can get in tribulation, trials, and testing. I'm here to tell you what we are to watch. That is our attitude. And that, as bad as things can get, these things will eventually pass. So just remember that this too shall pass, any tribulation or troubles or trials you're going through. We're not the first ones to go through difficulties, and we won't be the last. But we can practice how we respond to trials and troubles. You know, the examples given to us in Scripture even. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction. These are the apostles talking, Apostle Paul addressing what they went through. That our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even to life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in Elohim who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that the thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. And I suppose at times we go through the Apostle Paul describes here. And he and the other apostles were burdened excessively beyond strength that they despaired even to life. What's their response? Was it positive? Did they learn anything? They said that we would not trust in ourselves, but in Elohim who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will deliver us. They were also acknowledging the prayers of the brethren and were thankful first and foremost to Yahweh. So I appreciate the prayers that are given. I'm grateful, and maybe not as grateful as I should be about what your contribution is to the body. But I know that there are prayers that are offered up for myself, and we offer up prayers, my wife and I, also for you. We're to be building one another up. And, those on the prayer list, not only our prayer list, but other assemblies' prayer list, because we know that there are many in need and that have difficulties. And we try to help where we can, beyond prayer. But, we have limitations, can't help every situation. 2 Corinthians 6, verses 4 through 10. Take notice of the highlights. But in everything, commending ourselves as servants of Elohim in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, fruits of the Spirit. In the word of truth, in the power of Elohim, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. We're very rich spiritually, but we're not necessarily rich monetarily. Paul and Peter and, trust the other disciples and apostles did the same thing, We don't have gold and silver to give you, but we do have, the richness of Yahweh's word and healing. And there is healing that occurs when someone comes to the knowledge of the truth and they hold on to it and they persevere and they overcome holding on to that pearl of great price. They don't let go. So they and we are rich, though poor. It's not the wealth of this world we're seeking after, and yet it is the promise of Yahshua the Messiah in which everything will be inherited. It's much more important now to have our character proven and acceptable in Yahweh's sight. We go through difficulties, but those difficulties are producing a good end result. So it's not so much that we're looking for a reward that gives us any monetary value. We're looking for a reward that ultimately provides us with eternal life and the riches of Yahweh's word and deeper understanding. We're talking about this image of the chimpanzee that was confined for something like 25, 28 years. All they could see was the ceiling and the cages that they had him in. And they had this other chimpanzee that was in this nature preserve. They had him help this other chimpanzee walk out. And the chimpanzee, when he got out, he looked up at him. You could see the awe in his face. That's going to be us if we overcome to the end when Yahweh changes us, and we'll be able to see the spirit realm and the expanse of what Yahweh has and planned for those that love him. So don't give up. Don't go back into the world. Don't go back into the mire and the filth. It's not worth it. 2 Corinthians 4, 15 through 18. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of Elohim. Therefore, do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. It's important for us to understand why things are happening, so we can adjust our attitude to be in line with those who went before us. And if Yahshua returns while we're alive, they will be ahead of us in being changed into spirit beings. We need to be thankful, whatever our circumstances, to understand that there is a purpose for all the trouble that we see, and we will see plenty. In fact, Yahshua, didn't he say, you know, deal with today. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Don't be overwhelming yourselves, ruminating or, you know, being obsessed with difficulties that you see coming. Just know that day by day you should be praising Yahweh, giving him thanks, and drawing closer to him. If Yahshua returns while we are alive, then we'll be changed in a twinkling of an eye. But we know that those dead in Messiah will be raised first. We need to be thankful, whatever our circumstances, to understand that there is a purpose. Hebrews 11, 37 through 39. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. You know, the author of Hebrews. Much of what we've seen so far is still not comparable to what has already happened. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death with a sword. They went about in sheepskin, in goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all of these having approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. They're asleep in the ground, waiting, and they will receive what is promised. But at this time, they're at peace. And does the world understand what's happening? For the most part, they don't have a clue. And we were talking during the Bible study about, you know, how things got so bad, the stench from the Canaanites, you know, rose to high heaven, and Yahweh dealt with it, wiped them out. Tribulation is coming. And we may be going through some tribulation now. We know that we can deal with it because the one in us is stronger than the one in the world. We know that Yahweh is with us if we don't give up, but persevere doing his will. For the most part, I think we are certainly privileged to have been given the knowledge of the truth, but with it comes great responsibility. The process of tribulation, trials, and troubles helps prove us. It like how metals are purified, the dross and things get removed, and we're proven to see if we will, you know, be the good metal, you know, in the end. But the process of tribulation, trials, and troubles helps proves us and prepares us ultimately for reigning with Yahshua in the kingdom. Now he also had to go through suffering, and we need to remember him in all of this when we go through suffering. And he says, take courage, because as he has overcome, we'll be able to as well. We need to endure without sin, which is something that he did. 1 Peter 2:21-25. For you have been called for this purpose, since Messiah also suffered for you. What? We've been called to suffer? That's what it says. Leaving you an example for you to follow in his footsteps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he returned or uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the stake, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And this is, of course, in context of patiently enduring wrongful and unjust persecution. If one is suffering because of sin, then there is a lesson to be learned for that individual. That is to sin no more. And sometimes we're disciplined because of our actions. Hebrews 12:1-4. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Yahshua, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the stake, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of Elohim. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted the point of shedding blood and striving against sin. We are not to be sinners, but rather we are called to be saints, even if it means suffering at the hands of those who are clearly in the wrong and are giving us trouble for no good reason. We have yet to truly go through anything like what Yahshua went through for us. So we are not to grow weary and lose heart. This was the message in a letter from Paul and those with him for the assembly in Thessalonica. 2 Thessalonians 1:1-5, talking about suffering for the kingdom. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the assembly of the Thessalonians in Elohim our Father and Master Yahshua Messiah. Grace to you and peace from Elohim the Father and the Master Yahshua the Messiah. We ought always to give thanks to Elohim for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged and the love of each one of you towards one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the assemblies of Elohim for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. This is a plain indication of Elohim's righteous judgment so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of Elohim, for which indeed you are suffering. Do we realize why we go through some of the things that we go through? Tested. Tried for growth, for our own good. Why are we suffering at times? Is it not for the purpose of the kingdom of Yahweh, ultimately, to be ready for it and eternal life? The coming kingdom will have no end, but this world in its way is coming to an end. What side are we on? Obviously, we want to keep our focus on Yahshua, who leads us into the coming kingdom and beyond. But it is not without suffering, just as he suffered as an example for us. Paul, after being stoned by the Jews from Antioch and Iconium, and being left for dead, got up, brushed himself off, essentially, and continued to preach the evangel, continued doing what he needed to do, continued in the faith. Acts 14:22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of Elohim. Yes, through many tribulations, we must enter. This is the purpose of today's message, to encourage us to continue in the faith and to look at the overall picture while going through the various troubles in this life. To have the life to come in focus will indeed help us. It will. We need to understand why Yahweh is allowing certain things to happen. And we need to make our calling and election sure by getting in step with the Spirit of Yahweh and having the same attitude as the Messiah. Not my will be done, but thy will be done. I mean, we need to acknowledge and accept our calling and choosing and follow in the Master's footsteps. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. For just as the sufferings of Messiah are ours in abundance, so also is our comfort in abundance through Messiah, if we are afflicted. It is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Paul is hard to understand at times, but I highlighted some areas there that I think bring forth what we need to remember from this. But we are comforted in our affliction because we are not alone. We have each other, but more importantly, we have the Spirit of Yahweh and the Messiah with us. And there is unity in the Spirit. Romans 15, 5 through 6. Now may the Elohim, who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another, according to Messiah Yahshua, so that with one accord you may, with one voice, glorify Elohim and Father of our Master Yahshua Messiah. Unity in spirit is what we are attaining to walk on a higher ground, to have a sanctified and thankful attitude along the way. What was King David's attitude? A man after Yahweh's own heart. Psalm 23, verses 4 through 6. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. It's still with the goal of the coming kingdom in mind and eternity ahead of us, even in this passage. But it's not the only one. Isaiah 49, 10 through 13. They will not hunger, speaking of the future ahead of us. They will not hunger or thirst, nor will the scorching heat or sun strike them down. For he who has compassion on them will lead them and will guide them to springs of water. I will make all the mountains a road, and my highways will be lifted up or raised up. Behold, these will come from afar, and lo, these will come from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Shout for joy, O heavens. Rejoice, O earth. Break forth into joyful shouting, O mountains. For Yahweh has comforted his people and will have compassion on his afflicted. You know, we're talking about a brother in prison who is has death occurring within himself, and he knows that his days are numbered. And we've been in touch for at least a couple decades, for as long as I can remember being here. We've written back and forth to one another. I gave him some of these scriptures to remind him of you know, the blessings that are coming, and that I reminded him also of the sleep that is going to be occurring for him, and that it's a period of rest. He's bleeding internally. He has to wear a diaper right now because of the blood that's coming out. And there's nothing they can do for him. He's already went through chemotherapy and has been suffering with that. He has to be taken off the mailing list because he doesn't know. Even by the time this message is given, he may have already passed. But he's passed into a sleep, a death, in which he will be resurrected. He will be resurrected before those that are alive when Yahshua returns and caught up, and then will be changed and caught up as well. This life is not easy, but we prayed, and I was able to read him these scripture references, and I don't think the timing is coincidence, you know, having these in mind while I talk to him. But the promises are sure. You know, we read in Hebrews 6, before we go there, the author of Hebrews was explaining how Yahweh had affirmed to Abraham a promise to multiply him by no higher authority than Yahweh himself. The author then gives us assurance by this example of what Yahshua has done for us. Hebrews 6, 16 through 20. For men swear by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as confirmation is an end of every dispute. In the same way, Elohim, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for Elohim to lie, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Yahshua has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. Yahshua is clearly the hope we have and the promises that Yahweh gives through him for us today. But he's promised Abraham that his children would also be given an opportunity and would be like the sands of the sea and the stars of heaven. And the stars of heaven, if you've tried to count them, you'll spend many days and not get very far with the amount that there exist. So we know that Yahweh has great plans for his people, and we want to join whether or not we are Israel, native-born, foreigner. We want to come together and praise him for all that he's promised and is doing. And in doing so, we'll have the right attitude moving forward. And that's one of the main things I want to, you know, point out, that our attitude is very telling of where we are spiritually. And we need to grow and allow the Spirit that has been given to us to grow within us, to help us to walk in a way that's pleasing to the Father. Because we can walk in the truth, but if we're complaining about it, I mean, that's what happened to Israel anciently. Wasn't that part of the problem with them, that they're constantly complaining? Yahweh won't put up with that forever. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. But we do not want you uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Yahshua died and rose again, even so Elohim will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Yahshua. For this we say to you by the word of the Master, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Master will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Master himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of Elohim, and the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Master in the air. And so we shall always be with the Master, therefore comfort one another with these words. We are not only comforted by Yahweh's Spirit, but also knowing his Son and receiving the promises made by both Yahweh and Yahshua. Those come down to us, promises to Abraham, all the good promises that Yahweh has for those that love him and, you know, overcome this world. They are many. Even Job proclaims this knowledge of, you know, of resurrection from the dead through the understanding, well, not only the resurrection of the dead, but being able to see Yahshua and the Father, these type of things. Job 19, 25 through 26. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he will take his stand on the earth, just as Yahshua is coming to the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see Elohim. As the first law of discovery, as the book of Job is considered one of the oldest books, this is a good point to bring out for evidence that there will be a resurrection and that it was known from the beginning. Not a going to heaven, as is often taught, but an actual resurrection from the dead. And as we know, Job learned and benefited from the trouble that he went through, though we don't always understand why we go through the things that are difficult. There are benefits that do come from going through them. Luke 21, 19, by your endurance you will gain your lives. It's a pretty good promise. This is a parallel to Matthew 24, in which we are given some insight as to what will happen at the end of the age. Concerning Israel, Yahweh says the following, Isaiah 48:10. Behold, I have refined you, not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. And what benefit comes through this? Deuteronomy 8:3 and verse 6. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of Yahweh, your Elohim, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Do we not learn the same? We certainly do. Do we understand that we are not to live according to our ways, but rather his ways? I think we do. Are we any better than ancient Israel? Well, we certainly do. We certainly do better than they, I hope, and not follow in the example of their disobedience, as they often fell prey to. We have Yahweh's Spirit today to help, and for that we are grateful. Doesn't mean we won't go through troubles, through tribulation ourselves, but with benefits which will follow even for others. Philippians 1, 12 through 14. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the evangel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Messiah has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting in the Messiah Master, because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of Elohim without fear. Well, at this point, Paul is fully engaged with promoting the good news of Yahshua. Before, when he was persecuting the brethren and scattering them before his conversion, there was still a benefit that the brethren were able to spread the good news of the Messiah and testifying on his behalf to others, wherever they were, you know, wherever they went out to. And the word of Yahweh and his Messiah grew throughout the Middle East. And today, we're reading his own words that he was inspired to write. There is actually a stacking process of good things when we go through tribulation, as long as we maintain a proper perspective and outcome of why we're going through what we're going through. Romans 5, verses 3 through 5. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of Elohim has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. Perseverance is endurance. This is the foundational benefit of the stack. We find the same underlying word used for perseverance here in James 1 in this passage, and it is translated endurance. James 1, 2 through 4. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Same word as perseverance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. This idea is not new, but is needed among the brethren today. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 9. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, same word, and in your perseverance, uprightness, and in your uprightness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless, we don't want to be that, nor unfruitful, don't want to be that, in the true knowledge of our Master Yahshua, that's where we want to be. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted. We don't want to be blind or short-sighted either. Having forgotten his purification of his former sins. What a joy that is to have that slate cleaned. And we still need to work on ourselves. But we have Yahweh's Spirit with us. We have the promises. We have the Messiah leading us, if we're still listening to his voice. Otherwise, we will be like a sheep that strays. And I've heard that shepherds, you know, that have a sheep that continues to stray or wants to stray or has strayed, sometimes they have to break the leg to keep it from straying. So, just something to keep in mind. But Yahweh and Yahshua will eventually allow, you know, those that don't want to be part of their plan to depart and, you know, go their own way. We're given free will, so we are given the choice, and we're told to choose life, of course. Peter, in his experience, stacks endurance, same word as perseverance, up from faith, moral excellence, knowledge, and self-control. We should have all these things in place, you know, after having been baptized. But I think it's fitting as we should have all these things and be building endurance as well. All of it leads to the greatest quality of all, which is love. Love for one another. Love ultimately for the Father through the Son, love in our marriages, love among brethren, brothers, you know, love extended to families, to co-workers, being a light, not being darkness, because you'll just get mixed up with what's going on out there and not be any different at all. But we know Yahweh is love, that's with a capital L, and that he loves us. There is no need to ask why we're going through tribulation, is there? It has a purpose. It's to help build our character to be like his, and for us to rely on him and on his word in our lives through the Messiah. Sometimes the tribulation we go through is discipline because of our own actions, but it is for a purpose. Hebrews 12 9 through 11. We had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our own good, so that we may share his holiness. You catch that? All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet, to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness, one of the fruits of the Spirit, but ultimately love. When we first came into the faith, we didn't know some of the things we would need to go through, but through all of them, Yahweh has seen us through, because he was with us and knew we have committed ourselves to stay on the straight and narrow path. That is, for those of us that have not let go, we haven't let go of the promises and the hope that has been set before us. So we're continuing on the straight and narrow. But like Job, we need to persevere. We need to endure, whether or not we are disciples being tried or whatever the case, and that is for us. We're taught ones. We are disciples, so we are being taught in different ways. Yahweh works in mysterious ways, but we need to be in line with what he says to do. The shalls and the shall nots, those are for us today. But like Job, we need to persevere, whether or not we are being disciplined or being tried. Both seem to be the same to us as just plain tribulation, but the outcome will be good for us if we endure. Job 23, verse 5. But he knows the way I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. We need to overcome like Job did, by not giving up, thinking about what is ahead, not losing his integrity, by cursing and denying his maker. If Job could speak directly to us today about anything we are going through, in fact, if any of the patriarchs who overcame in times past, or the apostles, or other brethren who maintained their integrity and dedication in the face of tribulation, trials, and troubles, I'm sure they would say to us in any adversity that we are going through that this, too, shall pass. Be encouraged. Overcome. Because I think what's coming is unlike anything we've ever seen before. And we need to be ready. But we know that ultimately Yahweh will protect and guide and direct. That's how we started out, and that's how we'll end. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh.